Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'll tell you, I am fired up today because how about them Bears?
Dan Wiederer.
Your boy Dan Wiederer was on the radio last week with Speaks. Mm-hmm.
Bears beat reporter and enterprise writer for the Chicago Tribune.
We'll mention this mainly because Chicago Tribune writer Dan Wiederer said we would mention this nugget.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
First half, I think it was 320-4 in total yardage. How do you wrap your brains around how lopsided that was?
I don't. Got a bus kick.
First half struggles have been a consistent issue all year. How do you wrap your brain around the slow starts?
Yeah. Exactly what TB said. I think we had the answer. We would have solved it by now.
Dan Wiederer.
His name is Dan Wiederer. Wiederer time.
Bears.
The Take the North pod.
Dan Wiederer talks football with you.
Yes, he does talk football with you. And he joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. CircaLasVegas.com. Our segment is being brought to you by Four Seasons Heating and Air Conditioning, Plumbing and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. Dan, I got to tell you, man, your piece in the Tribune today was outstanding. So in-depth, well-sourced. You're asking all the right questions, and you're getting a lot of interesting answers. As you're putting this piece together, what is the idea behind it? And what revelations even shocked you?
Yeah, well, thanks for saying that, Lawrence. I think when you go into reporting a piece like this, it starts with everything that was happening the weekend of Thanksgiving. You know, the Bears come out of that loss in Ford Field. Matt Eberflus is fired the next day, and the entire league is starting to try to take inventory on what the direction of the franchise is. And so that franchise has to ask itself some very difficult questions about where they want to go with things, how they want to get there, and how they're going to be perceived by people outside the building that are looking at the opportunity at Halas Hall as something they may want to pursue. And so I think some of that was just trying to figure out what all goes into this very high stakes decision that this organization has coming up here in a few weeks, and how do they get there? I think, you know, you're on this tightrope if you're the Bears trying to get across to a healthier time while needing to understand that some of the outside questions and outside scrutiny that people have about you is something you have to do internally to make sure that you put yourself in position to succeed. Because guys, you guys know as well as I do that too often in the past, they have not set themselves up for success and then been surprised by the failure that's followed.
Dan, let me echo Lawrence and let me tell anybody who has a Chicago Tribune or would like to have one or go online, it is worth reading, as your stuff always is. But
truly is.
Oh, my God. There's some stuff in here. Lawrence, you mentioned before the show the Nate Davis stuff. Davis had been known around the building for more than a year as a, quote, always something, unquote, guy and a poor teammate. This is before it explodes with him deciding not to play because he had a bad back against the New England Patriots. But this sentence, I got to ask you about this. It didn't help that Poles signed Davis despite in-house warnings from the coaching staff that he had a reputation for being apathetic and lacking the kind of football passion Poles normally gravitates towards. Oh, my God. Now, we heard that there was stuff out of Tennessee, but in-house warnings to Nate Davis? So there was somebody at Hallis Hall who knew this stuff from Tennessee? Is that how we're supposed to read
that? Yes, correct. There was somebody that had been with Nate in Tennessee that kind of issued those warnings, and they went unheeded. And Speaks, that's so significant on such a grand level, because it's not just a big miss in free agency. And I've brought this up a couple times here in the last month, where there's this butterfly effect of what happens because Nate Davis is not reliable. And we all know what preceded the calamity at Ford Field, and it was a sack that Caleb Williams took with 32 seconds to go when Larry Borum didn't react to the snap and got beat badly by Za'Darius Smith. And then Caleb Williams is engulfed, and then chaos breaks loose. Well, Larry Borum is your next man up at right tackle, because your, you know, August swing tackle, Matt Pryor, has moved inside to play right guard because Nate Davis is no longer around. And the guy that you had as the next man up for Nate Davis, Ryan Bates, has been hurt all year. And the swing tackle that you drafted in April that you thought could be an answer for you as a developmental, player and depth piece during the 2024 season, Karan Amagaji, hasn't been healthy all year because he came into the league recovering from quad surgery. And so there are these ripple effects that happen sometimes that seems like just a small, you know, pebble into the ocean, but it causes an earthquake. And you see how some of these missteps can have massive ramifications. And I think the Bears have to understand how difficult it is to, one, succeed in this league, and two, to sustain success in this league before they're ever going to have a chance to put their puzzle together in the right way. And that's just one small example of how small errors can lead to huge, huge failures.
Yeah, and I wonder too, like, if you go back to how a lot of Bears fans are feeling at the end of Hard Knocks and all of that hope, and how it feels like things are moving in the right direction, I don't know, outside of Caleb, if anyone had a higher Q rating at that point than Ryan Poles. How have we gotten here, Dan, where you're writing a piece that, you know, I know that wasn't your intent. I know you're not out here just slamming Ryan Poles, but the evidence that you present is so damning, and we've gone from highest Q rating we've ever seen with a GM who didn't win a Super Bowl to now people going, can they move forward with him as the GM?
This is a very thin line, and it's a very thin line league. And I think you have to have that awareness before you're ever going to find a path to success. I mean, you guys would probably agree that if the Bears had been even bad instead of horrific over these last 7 weeks, say they had just gone 2-5 and they're 6-7 right now, how different the tone of the season would be, how different the vision of the season would be. You'd be 6-7, you'd be going to play a division opponent with a chance to keep your playoff hopes alive, and everyone would feel a little bit of hope still there. All you needed to do was win two of the last seven. You lost all seven of them, and that's where you are right now. And so you just have to be careful, because, you know, every little misstep can cause you to get closer to the edge of the cliff. And the Bears, unfortunately, have found their way there again this season. And so now you used a word there, Lawrence, that I think is important: direction, right? And there's an undeniable direction problem with this franchise right now. There's nobody that can dispute that at this point. So the question becomes, what are you going to do about it? Who's going to be the person to change the direction, and how are they going to do it? And I would hope that from the very top of this organization, that's ownership and Kevin Warren, they are taking a daily look and evaluation into how did we get here and how are we going to turn this thing around? Because if you don't have those answers and you're just taking these blind leaps of faith, like they've asked Chicago to do so many times over the year, then you're just perpetually lost. And unfortunately for 12 seasons on the beat, that's where the Bears have existed for most of my time.
Dan Weider of the Chicago Tribune is with us here on Spiegel and Holmes. Got to point out another thing that you have in this column, because the Matt Eberflus hire is brutal, and the Shane Waldron hire by Matt Eberflus as rubber stamped by Ryan Poles is absolutely awful. We were struck when we went back and heard Matt Eberflus say this about Shane Waldron the day that they announced his hiring.
Shane's a fabulous teacher, has a wonderful offensive mind, got great passion and enthusiasm for the game. His leadership skills are dynamic, and we're excited to bring him in. And he's done nothing but shown us that since he's been here.
Yeah, so that's staggering to hear Matt Eberflus say that Shane Waldron's leadership skills are dynamic.
He calls him an elite teacher.
Yeah, it's incredible. In this one, he called him an elite teacher in this piece. And Ryan Poles told the Tribune last spring, and I forgot this, quote, Through the interview process, I was blown away by his communication skills with us. Shane Waldron's communication skills. And we later find out what we found out. How can Bears fans trust that Ryan Poles can get a hire right after Eberflus and Waldron are his responsibility?
It's a $10 million question right now, Spiegs. It really is. It is what do you trust and why? And so, like, this is honestly, it's a choose your own adventure for Kevin Warren to figure out what he wants to do about this. Does he want to continue guiding Ryan toward this next decision? Does he want to figure out what candidates are looking at this organization as and figuring out from there, what do we need to do? There's a lot of different things that you have to consider and truly scrutinize to get this right. And even when you have good processes, getting a head coach right is almost as hard as getting a quarterback right in this league. You guys see it every year. There's 8, 9, 10 openings, and 4 years down the road, only like 2 or 3 of those guys are still in those jobs, you know? And so even if you're doing things completely properly, it's hard to get it right. When you're not doing things properly, it's really easy to get it wrong. And so we've been living that life for a really long time. And now you've got to figure out internally inside the building that I'm sitting in right now, what do we trust about Ryan Poles to add wisdom and guidance and foresight to this decision going forward? And if you don't have a really convicted answer on what that is, then I don't know what you do.
Do you think the McCaskies and Kevin Warren should be concerned about a possible strong head coaching candidate being worried about Ryan Poles' skills and his job security, frankly? Like, does the look of that power structure freak out a strong head coach candidate?
Freak out is too strong, but it's going to create questions. And so that's what was very consistent with people I talked to, again, starting the day after Thanksgiving, you know, the Friday night of Thanksgiving weekend, people were already asking those questions. What does this look like in 2025? What is there inside the building to sign up for? And what does it look like going forward? And so the Bears have to answer those questions for the people that come asking them. They don't need to answer them for us right now. But when they start casting their nets and start conducting their interviews and start doing their preliminary searches and getting deeper into their own search, those questions better have very clear-cut answers. Otherwise, there are, I can tell you, there are going to be candidates that say, thanks for reaching out. I'm going to explore some other opportunities, and maybe our paths will cross again someday up the road.
When it comes to you, and you kind of brought it up, the idea of Warren being a mentor for Poles, And that's really valuable, and I imagine that Kevin takes that very seriously. Like, him having to weigh whether or not to continue to mentor Poles inside of this job. He can still mentor him outside of the job, but inside of this job versus what it might mean to the quality of candidate that you could go and get to try and fill your head coaching position. That's a hard thing to try and work through if you're the Bears president.
There's no question, you know, and we're 2 weeks removed from the firing of Matt Eberflus. So you've had 2 weeks now to use what is a pretty vast network, if you're Kevin Warren, to kind of get your feelers out there and find out what the perceptions of this place are and what concerns you need to alleviate going forward. Look, like, is it reasonable to give Ryan Poles more rope? Sure. Is it reasonable to give him the opportunity to hire a second head coach? Absolutely. Happens a lot in this league where a general manager gets a second crack at hiring a head coach. But you can't just do that just because. You know, you have to do it, one, with confidence that you can trust his judgment, and two, with an understanding that he can choose the right person. And you want to have the belief in that because there's hard evidence that he's capable of choosing the right person, right? Because he's told you, here are the missteps I made in the hiring of Matt. Here are the missteps I made in the hiring of Shane. Here's how we're going to make the process a little bit better to marry up this next leader with what I believe this locker room truly needs at this moment in time, what this quarterback truly needs at this moment in time. And those conversations have to be really detailed. They have to be really exhaustive. They have to be really thorough, and they have to be really convincing, because if they're not convincing and you just do what they've done so many times over the last 4 decades, where you just go, okay, whatever, let's try it. And then you give it the old swing and it doesn't work. You can't look back 3 years from now and go, God, I can't understand why that didn't work out for us.
Hey, Dan, back to the day-to-day operations of a team with 4 games to play. Are you concerned at all about the Bears' effort on Monday night from the players' perspective in Minnesota?
I am. And I don't want to say that in a way where it indicts the give a damn of this team. It's more a concern about the emotional fatigue that they've been through over the last 7 weeks and how much more is left in the tank. I think you've kind of heard that all week from guys that have spoke publicly, whether it's a Caleb, whether it's a Cole Kmet, whether it's a Jalen Johnson, starting with you guys the day after the game earlier in the week and continuing yesterday in the locker room. You feel the weight of what's happened inside this building on those players. There's no denying that. And so now they've got to find those reserves of effort to win a football game against an 11-2 football team that's at home. You know, that's not easy to do. And so it's not that they're not going to be trying to give the effort. It's just what's left in the tank. And that's where my concern lies.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because I wanted to ask you to kind of control for bias. Spiegs and I were looking at the Caleb press conference, and we were sitting there going, you know, the young man looks like the weight of the world is on his shoulders. Now, look, we're not in the room. You're in the room. Is that how you read yesterday?
It wasn't so much that the weight of the world was on his shoulders. It's that he's been truly dizzied by everything that's happened to him, and understandably so. And so, like, I think sometimes I have to stop and remind myself that, again, Caleb just turned 23 years old like 3 weeks ago, you know, and I put myself back in my own 23-year-old shoes and where I was professionally and my ability to handle stress and my ability to channel things in a positive direction. And it wasn't pretty for me. Caleb's doing it a lot better than I did at that age, but there is a very human side to that of trying to figure out, holy crap, what's just happened here? And how do I navigate through it in a way that's productive both for the present and the future? And I think Caleb's trying to figure that all out, and he doesn't have built-in answers. And you heard some of the things he said yesterday about seeking counsel from teammates who have been through this before to try to give him a little bit of a roadmap on, like, how do I go through this? Well, you know, for better or worse, you know, Cole Kmet, who's got a locker stall right next to his, has been through one of these long ass losing streaks every single year of his career. And so he can say, like, this is how I did it as a rookie and I didn't handle it really well. Here's how I did it in year three and it went a little better. Here's how I'm trying it in year five now that we're in the 7-game losing skid. And maybe this is a way to get through a little bit of it. But it certainly felt like a guy, Lawrence, that was trying to figure things out on the fly without ready-made answers.
Age 23, I was making hardware deliveries for Armitage Hardware, 925 West Armitage. I was learning the city, driving all around, delivering hardware, and playing a lot of Tecmo Super Bowl. You, Dan Wiederer, what were you doing at age 23?
I was working at the Naperville Sun out in the western suburbs. I was known as a very high-maintenance young reporter at the time, a little bit of a... couldn't really control my temper at times, got me in a little bit of trouble in my early days.
Did anybody call you a condescending piece of crap while on that job?
That didn't happen until, believe it or not, that didn't happen until several phases later in my career.
Okay.
After I had learned to be a little bit more professional with my demeanor and my behavior.
And still it happened. Tune in at 5:30, everybody, for a special holiday treat. And Lawrence, at 23, I was here. You're here already.
Yeah. I was here working overnights and working on the Walter Payton show.
Unbelievable.
And like Dan, having to work through
some temper issues.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. That
would have been interesting if you guys had known each other.
I actually think Dan and I would have been just fine. What would have happened to everyone else? That could have been the problem. I'd have found a kindred spirit in Wiederer. We'd have been here punching people in the face.
Tag team champions of the world.
Like, there's more I could share, but I feel like it's more for a House of L audience than it is for a 4 o'clock score audience.
Noted.
So we can unpack that at another time.
Yeah.
All right. Yep.
You wouldn't be the first Bears reporter that I had to talk about my anger issues with. It's a good thing.
I will download that episode.
Weeds, be well, man. Have a great weekend.
All right, yeah, looking forward to get back to Minnesota. You know, it's always nice and cold there at this time of year, but good to visit with some old friends down there.
That's right, Dan's former beat. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Yeah, I actually think of, you know what's weird? I went to go get my tea and stop off at Robust in Woodlawn before I came in here. And I had been in my coat in the car. I don't ordinarily do that. So I got out the car and I'm like, oh, man, this feels great out here. And I thought just because, and I looked at the temperature, it's like, oh, it is actually warmer today. It's 23.
Yeah.
It feels pretty good.
Uh-huh.
Like 23 in the sun with no wind. I'll sign up for that.
Oh, survivable.
That's fine.
Absolutely.
That's fine.
It's this town, man.
It's like, oh, Look at this. We're unbuttoned the coat a little bit.
That's shorts weather. That's what that is.
No, we're getting that tomorrow and Sunday, though. I think we're going to be high 40s.
Are we really?
Yeah.
Let's go.
You know what that means?
What?
Shorts and hoodie weather.
That's your favorite right there.
Damn right it is.
Make it so.
It's great.
Everybody in the sports universe has been talking about a terrible, terrible act by a professional athlete last night.
A disgusting act.
That's right. And he didn't even moon the crowd or pretend to moon the crowd.
That guy's on the show on Monday.
Joe Buck will be on this show on Monday. Troy Aikman was on the show yesterday. But
that is a disgusting act.
A football act we must discuss. He's looking like the devil, but we might have a touch of sympathy for him.
Woo, woo.
We'll talk about that. And we'll keep you posted if anything else happens. The Cubs traded for Kyle Tucker today.
Woo, woo.
All kinds of stuff percolating in the middle of a Spiegel & Holmes holiday party show.
Woo, woo.
On the Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, it's Mark Schler of the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back live with more of the Spiegel & Holmes Holiday Party.
Shout out to NFLShop.com if you want to get your light-up sweater. It'll be lit. You guys want the lights on or lights off?
On.
Okay. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
On 670, The Score.
A couple of notes to pass along. Both of them, I think, are good. One is, like, pending. But the Kyle Tucker deal is official now. The Cubs just sent out their release of their acquisition of Kyle Tucker. So there's that. And we got a tweet from Randy Moss.
He's going. I saw that he mentioned he's going to go on Instagram Live to talk to people about his illness. And what did he tweet?
That he has bile duct cancer.
Oh, man.
And he had surgery, and it's successful, and now he's going to go through chemotherapy. But he labeled himself as a cancer survivor in it. So
wow.
Hopefully Moss is going to be all right.
When Ruben and I started throwing a football around together, he said, "Daddy, I want to get good at catching the football because we play Moss every day before the bell rings for us to go inside." And I'm like, I thought he was saying Moss, and he had like a bunch of, you know, Latin American kids or Hispanic friends. I thought he was playing Moss, like Moss meaning more. But he was saying Moss.
Also, Santana Moss, very popular with that friend group also. So,
very much so.
So that's what the kids call the game of all of them gathering around and somebody throws the football and they all leap up in the air to try and catch it.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a legacy right there.
That's a thing. Whew. Like, and think about,
I call it Guagi, but that's me.
Think about the two guys. You have Moss and you have Peanut Punch.
You guys heard of Guagi? Go up and get it, guys.
Yeah.
And those two guys are connected.
Yeah.
You know, especially in Chicago sports fans' minds.
That's pretty awesome.
So hopefully Moss will be okay. I'm glad that he came out of this surgery feeling empowered and strong.
A lot of people in the sports world and in the take-a-sphere, opinionists, And many more.
Opinionistas, huh?
Lineupistas. Shout out to Joe Madden.
Are going after Devondre Campbell.
And for good reason.
And for good reason today. Devondre Campbell had been a starter for the Niners at linebacker, got replaced last night because Dre Greenlaw was back healthy. And in the third quarter, after a couple linebackers had been hurt, Kyle Shanahan asked Devondre Campbell to go back in the game, and the man refused. He was dressed. He was on the active roster.
If you're dressed, you got to go.
Of course you do.
If you feel a certain way, you can tell the coach beforehand.
You can Nate Davis yourself if you really want to. And then give
them. You're still going to get cut.
You're still going to get cut, but at least give them a chance to not be a man down with a dressed roster. No, I mean, look, it's a no-brainer to crap all over Devondre Campbell. And a lot of
senior.
People, yeah, thank you. Charvarius Ward was like, that's some sucka stuff. And Charvarius Ward had a child die and played within 2 weeks. I mean, the stuff that these people have gone through. And still decided to play football, and Devondre Campbell just decided not to in the middle of the game last night.
Yeah, and again, like it's one of those things where if you need time to wrap your mind around all sorts of stuff, I actually think that they would give it to you or give you your outright release. But to get dressed, and then when they needed you to go in and play, to
it's
refuse,
bad.
Like it's the type of thing that people don't get over. Notice that Nate Davis hasn't signed anywhere.
Oh, no, yeah. And Devondre Campbell, I don't think he'll... I think I saw Ryan Clark say he should never play football again.
9-year guy, right? I think he's been in the league that long.
He's 31 years old, Devondre Campbell. Played for the Falcons for 4 years, the Cardinals for a year, Green Bay for 3 years. And this is his first year in San Francisco. And I want you to hear this from George Kittle, and not the stuff that maybe you've already heard all day today when George Kittle just going after him, said it was immature, said it was selfish, like just, you know, I've never played with a player like that, and I've never seen that, and I hope to never see it again. Just absolutely hammering him, okay? But this struck me, because if you're Devondre Campbell, and you're in that weird middle class of the NFL, where you're getting priced out, and you're aging out, but you're still 31, and you think you could play.
And maybe you're playing good football, and you're getting it because you're having this opportunity to play. And
you go to San Francisco, and they're like, "Yeah, we got a job here. We have an opportunity for you here."
Playing next to Fred Warner.
You're playing next to Fred Warner for 13 weeks.
He's so good.
And all the while that you're playing, you know that maybe this guy Dre Greenlaw is going to come back, and this is how. Your teammates, this is how the Niners feel about Dre Greenlaw. And I hadn't realized how they felt about him. Listen to George Kittle from last night about Dre Greenlaw.
His desire to play football in the most violent way possible, there are not very many people that do that. I mean, I don't think there's another person on the roster in the NFL that plays the game that he does. He is an old soul. He's a guy who could play in the 90s, the 2000s. And I absolutely love everything about that he does in every snap. The energy that he brings. He could be on the other side of the damn field and they could have a screen away from him and he's gonna somehow end up in the film, somehow on top of the pile, screaming and hyping up everybody around him. And when you have people like that on your team, it gets everybody going. And he is that player for us. He makes Fred play better, he makes Huff play better, he makes Bosa play better. And when you feel that out there, our defense is so much better with a guy like Dre Greenlaw. And he inspires our offense. When you see him make those plays, he's just, he's an incredible one-of-one person.
So I didn't realize that whole team feels that way about Dre Greenlaw. And you're Devondre Campbell, you've been replacing that guy the whole time. Then he comes back and everybody's like, yeah, screw you, go back to the bench. And then that guy plays and then he gets hurt. And they're like, oh, yeah, would you come back? Please, would you come back and play? And you're like, you know what? Screw you. F you, man. All you've been telling me is that I'm not Dre. And now Dre's back. Oh, and now Dre can't go. Now you want me to come back. And just for a moment, I imagined just how down and like freaked out Devondre Campbell and angry, resentful that he probably was last night.
I can relate. I can relate.
I bet they. I bet he wishes they had forgotten about Dre.
I see what you did there. I like it. That's good.
Deserved a rim shot, but that's okay.
No, it's okay, Chuck.
Does anybody want to ask Lawrence about I can relate? Anybody want to follow up on that?
We can follow up at 5:30. I guess Dre's coming back at 5:30, so I guess I'll
Just go over here. I guess I'll just head home now.
No.
So.
No. I want you to
actually,
stay.
That would be great. We're going to do Can't Do It. So we prefer you not be here for that.
And Steen is coming in for that, right?
Yes, she will come in. Absolutely. Yep, she'll do that. Yeah, we got to unload all these. What other Danny segments have we been dying to do?
Pulse position. I mean, this actually be a really good day for pulse position, to tell you
so,
the truth.
Tanny, Shane, you're the good Sox fans on the show. What do you think about Garrett Crochet getting traded?
So I'm
thinking about another perpetual rebuild.
Oh, I love him.
I'm going to take my helmet, and I'm just going to.
But you dressed, man. You dressed.
Yeah, but.
We could have had somebody.
Could have gone another way. Could have had Ann Heron in here.
We're going to throw the graphic on the Twitch. It just says Danny Parkins on your picture, like they did with Trent Williams last night.
Yeah, that was bad. Like, they misidentified. I don't know who that was, but it wasn't Trent Williams.
Oh, no. They did that?
Yeah, they did that.
That's too bad. Did Al catch it or no?
I don't think he
caught it. Do you think Al caught it? What does Al catch? Except for old man sinus infections.
He catches checks and man, old man sinus infections.
They're opening for John Vincent, by the way. It's a great show.
Old man sinus infections? Yeah. Yeah, they're struggling.
How about John Vincent rhyming Reese's with species?
That was so great.
That's a legend.
The off-the-top king, yeah. John Vincent.
That was remarkable.
Well, he was talking about Eminem. He's talking about Eminem and freestyling and all that good stuff.
Uh-huh.
I've messed with you with this one, haven't I?
No, in a good way.
Good.
Lawrence, we all can just take a joke, you know? We're just fun. We're fun hanging. Everyone's poking
We are the fun show.
Yeah,
fun show.
We are so fun,
The other
Lawrence.
Ones are not fun. Fun. You hear them every day. They're not. They actively try to not have fun.
They have to schedule their fun. They, like, announce and position their fun.
Wait a minute. This show does that.
No, well, no.
But fun can erupt at any moment on this show, as you know.
What we're saying is they're not equipped anytime, to erupt. Right,
anytime, guys. Anytime you're ready for that fun.
You're saying you'd welcome it, Danny?
Right here.
Interesting.
This category is at 340.
Yeah, well, that is fun.
Josh Giddey's jacket.
Well, did you see what they're voting on in the Supreme Court today?
Yeah.
Thank you.
That happens.
When is the
Shane
second half?
Shane goes skating.
When are we doing
There's
the
a lot
second
of stuff.
Half?
I need to talk to my alderman.
He's got a NASA guy, I believe, right?
He's got a bunch of NASA guys.
Yeah.
This from Stonecutter.
See, but fun can erupt at any moment.
Longtime Bears observer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
We better break before I get myself into some trouble.
Nah,
you're right.
Come Dan on. Bernstein? Come on.
get
nah,
into some trouble.
I was about to launch into my morning show cliches.
It's the holiday party.
I don't want that smoke, man.
Yeah, no, I don't either. I love David Amoli.
I don't want that smoke with
no,
Haw.
No. And, you know, Kirkland Shane would be all over you for that.
He has been lately, man.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Tell him to stop taking my headphones.
I did. Yeah, we're good. Right, yeah, good. I told him where the extra ones are.
All right, good. Good.
So have we found out, like, do we know for sure that, like, when your headphones keep...
Yes, Dustin, he took them for Dave Wanstead, and he took them for Fred Mitchell. Now, those are wonderful men, and I'm glad they both used my headphones. I just would like them back in my drawer.
We got to get you a combo lock, man.
Yeah, or just some combos. I'd be fine with that, too.
So wait, where do combos fit in the snack cake?
They're not a snack cake. Last time I checked, combos
like
not a
snack. Like
the
sweet ones aren't?
No. And they really
they got sweet combos?
I've never heard of such a
Don't
thing.
They?
This what is this sorcery?
I thought they were like chocolate combos.
You know what I like about them? My favorite thing about them is that they really cheese your hunger away. That's what I've the cheese filled combos that really cheese your hunger away.
That deserved a rim shot.
It's just the truth.
That's
Chuck.
Okay.
That's all I'm doing. All I'm saying is the truth.
What?
I guess there are. I guess they're all savory.
They are.
Wait.
Uh oh.
Wait.
Wait.
No, they all are.
R.I.P. Buffalo, Louis Anderson.
Buffalo blue cheese.
Those sound savory and disgusting.
Cheddar cheese, which is the original.
The king.
Nacho cheese.
That's not mine.
Nachos. Nacho mama. pepperoni pizza. And then pizzeria combos. Wait, let me see. There's a couple more. There are more flavors of combos
Lawrence
than
Holmes,
I.
Holmes, if you don't stop naming combos.
Macadamia combos.
And they're always 2 for $5 at the gas station. So you get two of those big ass bags for $5.
They're right there next to the other, the better choices. Corn nuts.
No.
Corn nuts. Better choice.
I forget that you're 67.
Yeah, he's a weirdo. I'm sorry. If you're not eating combos, are you even road tripping at all?
You're not.
This is a fair point.
Bugles.
No.
The Bugles are right there.
Oh, my God, dude.
Tanny and I. Like Bugles. And Lawrence.
Yeah. Go for a
three
swim.
Out of four, Shane. No.
I like Bugles.
Yeah,
Bugles,
man.
Bugles are trash.
Bugles are the best.
Get a fresh bag of Bugles.
I got to say that I just went outside the studio, and I had some macaroni and cheese from Ina May. And it was better than it was 2 hours ago.
It got a chance to congeal.
Oh.
I think that's what made it better. And it was great because we get a chance to feed the boys.
Oh,
Robbie's here. Sean's here. Brandon. Those guys all had some food from Ina May's, which is unbelievable. They took great care of us today.
They really did. Ina May at Wood and Milwaukee in Wicker Park, a tremendous place. You could play Bad Santa Bingo every Wednesday in December at 7:30 p.m. And for $25, you can have all-you-can-eat fried chicken. And that fried chicken was crazy good. I had a thigh.
So good. There's still a little bit left, too.
Yeah, there is. $6 High Noons, $6 Spiteful Bayou Brews, $6 Mamitas Tequila, seltzers, all there. And check out the holiday catering menu with the greens, the red beans and rice, the mac and cheese, the gumbo, and the biscuits. Elite biscuits from over there at Ina May.
How do you guys feel about an audible here?
What you got?
Can we go back to the Troy Aikman stuff in this next segment since we had the breaking news on Kyle Tucker?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, because there's something that Speaks heard yesterday that he can't shake from what Troy Aikman told us. We're going to share that with you next here on The Score.
Taste the biscuit. Taste the goodness of the biscuit.
We're back live with more of the Spiegel and Holmes Holiday Party.
I traded Bullfrog. I don't believe it.
What's that?
For crap's sake, the Sox traded Bullfrog, the only player they got for Schottenhofer. Four eyes Schottenhofer, a utility infielder. Got a whole lot of damn team utility infielders.
That's nice. Hey, Dad. I'll bet you never guess what I got you for Christmas.
A new furnace.
That's a good one, Dad.
My old man was one of the most feared furnace fighters in northern Indiana.
On 670, The Score.
It's the Spiegel and Holmes Christmas party, because we weren't invited to one. So we had our own.
Damn right we did.
Tanny is wearing his Wu Christmas sweater, because Wu Chang is for the children and for Christmas. It's very important.
It's outstanding. Love hearing Christmas story right there. The great Gene Shepherd makes me think of our late friend Lynn Bramer.
Aww.
And Lynn's Bins, which were such bits of genius. I always thought of Gene Shepherd when I thought of Lynn Bramer. And the little things
that make you think of Lynn this time of year. I go on a walk and there's a house that has the holiday decorations out front, but it's a bunch of Christmas mice aligned on the front lawn. And just every day when I walk by, I just think of Lynn. Along with the many other things that make us think of Lynn.
He would love that.
Mine this past weekend was just a loaf of bread from D'Amato's. That made me think of Lynn for
the
holidays.
That'll do it.
That is on brand as well.
Or the Italian sub from Barry Foods next door. He turned me on to that one. There's a million things. All right, Lawrence, you mentioned our segment with Troy Aikman and Dave Wanstead yesterday. Wanstead.
Was unreal.
Unbelievable. So much stuff. And I know other shows on the station today have replayed some.
And we're appreciative of that. Thank you.
Very much so. We love it when it's something that we do has life, and we always will do the same when something they do is awesome, as you know. But there's one thing that he talked about, that Aikman talked about, that I couldn't get out of my head. We were talking about the culture and the fun that they had, and the seriousness, of course, they also had down in Dallas. And Troy said something about the coaching staff and the dynamic of it that has really been sticking with me all day long.
The thing that we had, and I'm sure Dave's talked about it on this show over the years, I just think that what I knew then and what I even know more now is everyone on that staff was loyal to the head coach, because what happens invariably is you get into your position meetings and players like to bitch. And so they're complaining about this or that. And all of the position coaches that Jimmy brought in with him to Dallas, they were all loyal to Jimmy. So whenever players would complain and say, well, I'm not being used right or this and that, the coaches always backed the staff and what Jimmy was doing or whatever the decisions were made. And that's important. And it's rare because coaches generally, the position coaches, they want to get along with their players. So when they get off with them, the wide receiver room, you know, yeah, the coaches become part of that room with their players and be friends with them. And it just causes some problems. So I think that for us, there just was no chinks in the armor when it came to how we were going to do things, what was expected, what Jimmy demanded. It was from top to bottom, and the message was sent loud and clear.
So a couple things. We've always talked to Dave about the loyalty of all those people who would go from place to place together, and sometimes it can be derisively. But what Troy is speaking to there is the power of that unity and the unity of the leadership and how valuable it is. Because ask yourself, Lawrence, as a man who covered the league and was a beat reporter in the league and has been around so many teams, how many times you've heard stories about assistant coaches
being snitches?
Being snitches or breaking bad on a head coach or wanting to get ahead, having a good cop, bad cop dynamic that turns ugly, you know? And then somebody gets a job somewhere else and it disrupts the chemistry and like, I've heard so many stories recently and in the past about how that dynamic can fall apart, and the cohesion and the unity of leadership that Aikman is speaking to. That's how, when you're lucky enough to get good, maybe you can get great and stay great like those teams did.
Honestly, I think that that is an extrapolation. What Troy said is what Matt Bowen has been telling us, what Olin has been telling us, what Patrick has been telling us. That's when you get to the end of that. Like, why are all these guys talking?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting that all these guys are talking.
Yes.
It's the next generation of that thing. And I think I thought it was a really prescient comment by him, and cool for you to like be like, wait a minute, we need to bring that back because it's worth us discussing for sure. I'm glad that we did. And tomorrow, I mean, Monday, we're going to discuss it even more.
Yeah, because you're right. The players talking, think about it. They probably bitched to one of their position coaches, and those position coaches, their job was to say, shut up, that's the way we do it, deal with it.
Uh-huh.
And have the coaches back. And it doesn't seem like maybe that was happening.
It does not. It does not. When we come back, we will get a Bears hit. One word, 5 o'clock hour is going to be great. Danny Parkins is going to join us at 5:30. Stick around. Spiegel and Holmes here with you until 6 on The Score.